Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. Parker Kelly broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We're going to get into some college football this hour. Vols and Vanderbilt both with huge games this weekend. Tennessee taking on Georgia in Knoxville. Vanderbilt on the road looking to snap a 16-game losing streak against South Carolina, which would get them to 3-0 and likely back into the AP top 25. We'll get into that coming up next, but wrapping up our segment here on the Titans panic meter, we've talked Brian Callahan, Calvin Ridley. The other big issue on Sunday, the offensive line. And we've kind of skirted around a little bit, talking about Dan Moore. I'm a little bit concerned about this offensive line. Dan Moore, the chart came out of amount of pressures, pressure rate, and all this. And Dan Moore was just at the bottom of the list. I think it was pass rush win rate and PFF pass blocking grade or something, and he was all the way at the bottom. So how concerned are you about the Titans' offensive line after week one? Gave up 6 sacks, and Cam Ward was hit 12 times in his debut.
You know, we've talked about how sometimes this can be a work in progress, but we've been talking about that for 3 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much since Lawan's knee blew out the second time.
Now, there are the pieces there to what we believe can be a good group. Now, J.C. Latham is dinged. And this was something that happened in the preseason as well. So, you know, we're not past it. We're not past it. So you got Latham was not 100%, and you got Moore who struggled out of the gate. And I'm more apt to say a 3 because I think they'll get it figured out. But again, like I said, Brian Callahan at 3-15, we're on year 4 of this thing. So I'm going to say a 6. I'm going to say a 6. I'm at the point they got to prove it to me. They got to prove it to me. Do I think they can? Yeah, I do. But I need to see it. I also know as much as I like Zeitler and I like the Zeitler signing, he didn't have a great camp.
Yeah.
He had his hands. I mean, look, a lot of people have their hands full with Jeffrey Simmons, but he had his hands full with Jeffrey Simmons. And so, you know, they've got a lot of guys who've got to play better. And can they play better? Yes. Have some of them proven they can play better? Yes. But one's got to get healthy. One's got to play better. All right. Now, Skoronski scored off the charts in that thing.
Right.
But he was the only one.
Yes.
And we all thought Skoronski would be the best one of the group this year. So
agreed.
Good to see him leading the way. You know, I've always thought Latham would be the leader of that group because I think it suits his personality.
Yeah.
Peter might need to take that mantle. He might need to say, guys, follow me. I don't know if that's him or not. You know, he's an upfront talking guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's that leader guy. He might be. But I think he needs to be. I think he needs to be because he's the one getting it done right now.
Yeah. And with J.C. Latham, the way Brian Callahan talked about it on Monday, it didn't sound promising. It sounded like he's probably not going to play this week, and who knows after that.
Well, the thing is, when you're a tackle, you've got to have that lateral movement.
Right.
I mean, if he was a guard, it might be something he could fight through, but when you've got a kick to the outside, and everybody's got everybody but the Titans has 2 pass rushers now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're going to come after you, and especially if they know you can't move.
Yeah, and you look at this this defense for the Rams, Braden Fisk and Puna Ford, Kobe Turner, Byron Young, and Jared Verse. Yep. It's not going to be much easier for this offensive line than it was last week. I know that Nick Benito he was awesome on Sunday.
And they blitzed the heck out of him.
Yep.
And I'll be interested to see if the Rams are that aggressive this week.
I would probably go... I'll go a 4, maybe a 5 on the offensive line with the concern level.
Is that higher than you thought it would be?
Yeah, especially heading into week one. I thought I didn't think they were going to be great on Sunday because, again, it is a good Denver defense.
But you didn't think you'd have the jailbreaks that you did.
Right. Like, towards the end of the game, it kind of felt like Cam Ward, it's just like...
Chuck and duck.
See if you can just get the ball off at this point.
It was like shades of the Houston Texans' first year in the league.
Right.
It's like, look out!
I'm concerned, and at some point, Bill Callahan's got to prove that he's the O-line guru. Like, they've given him talent.
Yes.
Those guys are all talented.
They should be able to get it done with the group that they've got this year.
Right.
Should.
Like, you give him Nicholas Petit-Frere, and it's like, all right, well, maybe nobody could turn Nicholas Petit-Frere into a good right tackle.
Look, you have to have combatants.
Yes.
All right. He's got five combatants. All right. And as I've said, it can take a few weeks into the season to make that orchestra play. So I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying I've been waiting for this for a while.
Yeah.
And so I think it would be foolish of me to not be more concerned.
Yes. We got a texter, 7988 says, offensive line 9 could be talked into an 8 or a 10. 3 years, I'm past patience, like you said, and have no faith in legendary O-line coach Bill Callahan. He says, if I was the offensive coordinator, I would call plays as if there was no offensive line. That's basically what it was at the end of the game. I saw this text earlier, and I thought it was interesting. 7410 says, need one of you guys to answer this question for me.
Okay.
If Brian Callahan gets let go at some point this season, mid-season, they have to go to an interim coach, does Bill Callahan leave at the same time?
That is a very interesting question.
I would say yes.
It would be very difficult for him to stay. Now, he's a professional. He's been doing it for a long time.
Right.
So maybe his allegiance to the guys that he's coaching keeps him there.
That's a good point.
And I think he understands the politics, but he also understands who his son is. So that's difficult to say.
Yeah,
it is. I do think the interim head coach, we're not advocating.
We're not at that point, yes.
But if you're asking who would be the interim head coach, it's probably Bones Fossil.
Yeah, Mike McCoy is kind of Mike the McCoy, analyst there. It's one of those two who have somewhat head coaching experience.
Fossil has done it before. He did it with the Rams when Jeff Fisher got fired. So he's been in that position before and a wildly respected guy.
Yep.
So, you know, he's and popular, you know, with connecting.
I would guess Bones Fossil ends up being the pick if we get to that point.
If we get to that point. Let's hope that they're 7-1 and we're like, remember we were talking about what happened to Calgary? Okay. But like it's just like talking about the third quarterback on Sunday. Who's the third quarterback?
Yeah.
You know, you don't ever want to get there, but you know, you gotta be realistic and say, who is it? Is it Johnny Hecker, by the way?
I would guess so, right? Because I mean, Mason Kinsey was the emergency, but like he's
Tyler
not,
Boyd was.
Right, Tyler Boyd too, yeah. I think it would have to be Johnny Hecker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Former quarterback.
In terms of Brian Callahan being fired, like I find it hard to imagine Bill Callahan would just be like, sorry, son, I'm going into work on Monday. Like I think it's probably going to be a package deal with them. We have a couple texters saying Denard Wilson should be the interim. That kind of puts you in the same spot you are now where it's like you feel like Brian Callahan's overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Denard Wilson kind of be overwhelmed with trying to run the defense and be a head coach for the first time in his career?
Well and then you've got a guy who's not really running his defense. He's running the team. And then if Callahan's gone, you've got Nick Holtz running the offense. And
right.
We all know he's really not the one running the offense right now. So you're weakening two spots.
Yes.
And that's generally not what they want to do. And that's what – you don't see that very – I would have to see the numbers on it on who actually gets elevated. But a lot of times it's a special teams coach.
Right.
Or Mike Mularkey was the tight ends coach, but he was a former head coach. And so that's why you look on staff and you say who's got the experience to pull them through what is a – tumultuous situation.
Yeah.
And that's why I just McCoy, Bones Fossil.
You typically don't want to put one of your play callers in that role.
You don't want to weaken an aspect of your team.
Right.
If you don't have to.
So, yes, I would say it's Bones Fossil, it's Mike McCoy. But again, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
I think Brian Callahan's got minimum a month and a half left to figure this out. Minimum. Like, The Patriots game, as funny as it would be to see him get fired after the Patriots game.
Okay, there's nothing funny.
There's nothing funny.
Typical,
I guess I could say. Yes. Like where you kind of like chuckle at it of like, of course.
Well, it's because Robinson gets fired
after the Eagles game. Yes.
Like, and that's why we're all pointing at that game. If Vrabel comes in and pantses him, you know, it's going to be embarrassing.
Yes. And that, like, as much as we've joked about, like, what if he got fired after the Patriots game, I think that's the earliest it could happen Yes. I think the bye week is probably where they make a decision one way or the other.
Look, if they're winless after the Patriots game,
yeah,
there's going to be a lot of talk.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, it's tough to look at this after week one, and I know it probably is an overreaction at this point because it is 1 week, but Brian Callahan has dug himself a hole.
Yeah.
This is the week he's got to start digging at it.
And it's a shame because he put his team in position to win a game they weren't supposed to win. And so instead of getting credit for that, he's being torn down
right.
for getting in the way of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I say as a coach or as a referee, you know, you don't ever want to be in the spotlight.
Right. There are a lot of positions, being a ref or an umpire, head coach, even like long snapper or punter,
yes.
like those are the big, like if you don't notice them,
they're doing
a good job.
Yeah. Like Peter Skoronski, nobody talked about Peter after the game because he had a good game.
Right. Peter Skoronski played well. And, you know, hopefully that is signs to come of him becoming the all-pro guard that you drafted him to be
yep.
at 11th overall. Tommy with a hot take
okay.
on the text line before we move off the Titans. I know we're all upset, but I think we're overreacting. Fair. This team looks good. I'm very confident we win the division at least.
Wow. Wow.
Very okay. confident.
That's a hot take.
I think the team will be better than they looked on Sunday. I think the offense will figure some things out.
Yes. But I think Cam is too good to not improve as the year goes along.
But I don't think winning the division is a realistic goal. I think this team, my expectations for the team have not changed based on Sunday because I thought they were going to lose that game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But if things look the same way as they did Sunday, then we have a problem. I don't think they will against the Rams. I think they're going to improve some things. I don't think they win the game against the Rams, but I hope we're not having the same conversation about Callahan and Ridley in the offensive line next week.
You know, the crazy thing about the NFL, and this is where I can lean on being old, is I've seen a lot of things. I've seen the Titans be 1-4.
Yeah.
And Vince Young goes in and they go on a run. All right. I've seen them start 0-6 and lose 59-0 in New England and then get back to 500. I mean, we always talk about the difference between good and bad and the difference between winning and losing is not very much.
Yep.
And we can point to this game as a perfect example. You know, we brought up a couple of plays that if they actually execute those, and those aren't on Brian Callahan, they're on the players, that they win the football game. They win the football game. And, you know, so it's possible. It's possible. I would take that bet on winning the division.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even blink about it. And that's because they were the worst team in football last year.
Yes.
And I do not think all of their problems are fixed.
I know there is always a team that goes from worst to first.
Yes.
Don't think it's going to be the Titans. Don't think it's going to be the Patriots either.
No. Nope.
Who were the popular pick.
Well, they were the Vrabel pick. Yeah.
Yes.
The national media loves them some Mike Vrabel.
Yes. And they are 0-1 after losing to the Raiders at home on
Sunday.
That's
a bad loss, by the way.
Yeah. Only scored 10 points, too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back to the Titans in a little bit here, but it also is a huge week of college football. And we've talked about it each of the last 2 days about these two games in the state. Vanderbilt on the road at South Carolina, the Vols hosting Georgia at home. Huge games for both teams. Who needs it more? Maybe a better question is, whose win would be bigger if they can pull it off, and who has a better chance on Saturday in two huge matchups? We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's best deal is Mellow Mushroom. Mellow Mushroom Pizza is stone-baked with fresh ingredients, next-level imagination, and limitless options for customization. It's a higher order of pizza. You know and love Mellow Mushroom. Now get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. The Commodores are on the road again and will face ranked South Carolina this Saturday. Pregame at 5 o'clock, kickoff at 6:45. Vanderbilt football is brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Smoky Mountain Tops. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Let's get to some college football here. We will get back to the Titans later on in the show as they prepare for the Rams. First day of practice this week. We'll get an injury report later this afternoon as well. Should get some clarity on J.C. Latham. But Saturday, two massive games in the state. Vanderbilt on the road at South Carolina. Vanderbilt coming off a blowout win over Virginia Tech, outscoring the Hokies 34-0 in the second half. Tennessee's look good. They'll face Georgia in Neyland. They beat Syracuse, who Syracuse didn't look all that good this weekend.
The coach made them run after the game.
They almost lost to UConn.
They ran sprints. It was just like Herb Brooks.
So, you know, maybe Syracuse not quite as talented of a team as maybe we thought heading into the year.
Yeah, they're a disappointment.
But did handle business in a big way against ETSU, put up 75 points in that game. 72. There were some teams that put up 75 this week. We saw a lot of blowouts this weekend. But two big games coming up. Who do you think has a better chance, Corey?
Okay, is that what we're starting with?
Let's start with that. Who do you think has a better chance to pull off the win? Both are underdogs by
3.5 and 5.5.
Yeah, 3.5, 5.5.
Vols are getting 3.5. Vandy's getting 5.5.
Right. Vols at home, Vanderbilt on the road. Both these teams, the expectations for both these teams go to a different stratosphere with a win. With Tennessee, it goes from maybe they're on the outskirts of the playoffs to this is a playoff team. For Vanderbilt, it goes from good start to the year to this team's a top 20 team in the country.
This team is now in the playoff conversation.
Right. You're going,
if things continue to go right. You're in position. You're 3-0.
Right, and you would hope with games at home against Georgia State and Utah State the next couple weeks, you hope you head into Tuscaloosa 5-0.
If you go 7-2 the rest of the way, if you win this one, you're in the playoffs.
Yep.
So that's it.
Who do you think has a better chance?
I'm going to go with Vanderbilt, even though they've lost 16 in a row to the Gamecocks.
2008 is the last time they beat South Carolina.
From that aspect, they're due. Okay, number one, mathematically, they're due. But they handled Virginia Tech a lot easier than Vanderbilt did. I mean, than South Carolina did, and they did it on their home field. And I think the bottom line is South Carolina's not playing that well. They're not playing that well.
Right.
They rumbled with Virginia Tech. They made some great plays. I mean, Lenora Sellers made an outstanding scramble, hit a guy with a dime for a long touchdown. Yep. They had a huge punt return. But that was it. I mean, those three plays were the game. Whereas Vanderbilt just took it to them. And then South Carolina wasn't great beating South Carolina State. That's a 1AA team. So I like Vanderbilt because I think the Pavia magic is real. I think they believe they can win this game. You know, Beamers are always known for special teams. Who's the best special teams in the SEC last year?
Vanderbilt.
Okay. So I don't think that's going to lose them the game. All right. Now, I say that, and they'll give up two punt returns. But I think they, at a minimum, can break even on special teams with South Carolina. I think the other issue, look, I love Lenora Sellers, so don't get me wrong on that. He's outstanding. But South Carolina's struggling up front. Their offensive line is not performing well, and Vanderbilt is too deep on the defensive line for the first time that I can ever remember. And so I think that they can give South Carolina problems, and they can be there in the fourth quarter because they now have the depth to rotate guys.
Yep.
All right. And so that and Pavia Magic and special teams makes me say, I like Vanderbilt. I'll take the 5.5 points. I don't need the 5.5 points. I think Vanderbilt's a straight up winner on Saturday.
Yeah. I will go Vanderbilt as well because I think South Carolina is a little overrated because of their quarterback.
There's a lot to like about them, and the quarterback is the reason they're ranked number 11. They have not performed to number 11. Now, there are other teams you can say that about, but they dropped last week. They won and dropped. Okay, so they didn't impress anybody.
I think Vandy just has a way about them that they're going to be in the game at the end. Like last year when they played South Carolina, they lost by 3 touchdowns, but it wasn't a 21-point game most of that time, and South Carolina scored a couple times at the end, and Pavia was hurt at that point. I think a healthy Diego Pavia makes this Vandy team a team that can punch with anybody.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think South Carolina, like, Sellers makes them sellable in the AP poll. It's like, oh, they got one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
He's a top 10 pick.
But is the rest of the unit around him a top 11 program in the country? Probably not.
Well, they're not performing like it
right
at this point. They could be. If they, I mean, look, they've got athletes. There's no question about that. I mean, the Harbor kid can really go, and he's a problem. And so, you know, but they've got some stuff they've got to get together. But I think Beamer has been a lot better hire than South Carolina gave them credit for when they hired him. There was a lot of criticism of that hire, and he has hugely outperformed. And I think when I think a lot about college football and perception is understanding who you are.
Right.
And where you are. All right. And, you know, you're not Alabama. And I think Ole Miss needs to understand this.
Yeah.
Know who you are. When you're 10-2 at Ole Miss, that's a great year.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Don't bemoan that you weren't 11-1, 12-0. You're Ole Miss.
Yeah.
All right. And so South Carolina, 8-4, 9-3.
It's a great
10-2,
year.
10-2. Those are great years. You're getting to, Shane Beamer had a great year last year. He had them on the cusp of the playoffs. You could argue they could have been in the playoffs. I think that's a huge success for them. Now, he's got a team that can be there this year. He's got a, you know, if they don't make it this year, it's probably a disappointment.
Yeah, probably coming off a 9-3 year, and you bring back the quarterback. Yeah. And they also have Stewart on the defensive line, who he'll probably be a first-round pick, too. It's like the star power is there for the South Carolina team.
And that's my point of they could win this game, and they could win it by two touchdowns.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to play much better than we've seen to this point, and so I'm going on what we've seen. And what I've seen is Vanderbilt playing a lot better than South Carolina right now.
And Vandy, you know, they just handled a tough environment on the road.
They were down.
Right. Down 20-10.
In Blacksburg. That's a tough spot to be.
Do have to say, it was disappointing, and I pointed this out to Andrew Allegretta from the booth on Saturday, that half the student section cleared out at halftime, up by 10 against an SEC team. Like,
that is disappointing.
The diehards who were in the north end zone, which is where the main student section is, they all stayed. But there's the satellite student section, which is over on the east side, and half of that was gone after halftime. It's disappointing. I mean, but that's what Virginia Tech football has become.
Yeah,
and Vandy,
it shows you where the program's at.
Vandy dominated.
Because apathy's a problem.
Right. And Vanderbilt, 321 yards to 21 the second half.
Somebody asked me, what does Vanderbilt need Pavia to do in this game? You know, do they need him to not turn the ball over? I'm like, no, they need him to be Pavia.
Yeah.
He has earned that trust.
Yeah.
You do your thing. He may turn it over once, but you know what he's also going to do? He's going to make a hell of a lot of plays.
Yes.
So you go be you, and you bring the rest of the team up with you, because that's what he does.
It's going to be a big game on Saturday, 6:45, night game in Columbia.
It'll be rocking.
Vanderbilt has an opportunity to prove that they belong in the playoff conversation, and that is where they will be.
How old were you the last time Vanderbilt beat them? 16 years ago, 2008.
I was 8.
You were 8 years old.
Yeah, I was born in 99, so, wow. Or 8 or 9, so, yeah. they're due, like you said, they're due. Tennessee has also not beaten Georgia in a while.
Yep.
2016 was the last time Tennessee beat Georgia. We'll talk about that game coming up next. And do we think Tennessee can prove themselves as a true, not just playoff contender, but maybe an SEC contender if they win this game on Saturday? We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you, talking some college football. It's a big week in the state of Tennessee. I don't know if you can look around and find a collective week for both these programs together as big as this one in a long time. Tennessee, you're number 15 in the country. You're 2-0. Joey Aguilar has proven that he can be a quarterback who can run this system effectively. But now you run into Georgia.
It's a different deal.
We talked about Vanderbilt and South Carolina. For Tennessee this week, I think the second question I was going to ask is which win would be bigger?
Yep.
And for Vanderbilt, it always seems to happen with Vanderbilt that when Vandy wins a big game, it's the talk is more about that South Carolina lost or South Carolina may not be as good.
They might be past that.
Maybe. And we'll see if Vanderbilt wins on Saturday. But with Tennessee, if you beat Georgia for the first time since 2016, that people are going to look at Tennessee differently this year.
Sure.
It goes from...
But they're already ranked 15th.
Yes.
So they're already in the playoff conversation.
Right.
Where Vanderbilt, if you win this game, you are now in the playoff conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, so to me, it's a much bigger win for Vanderbilt. Also, Vanderbilt probably can't survive this loss. I mean, look, if they go 11-1, they're going to survive it.
You'd have to...
But Tennessee can survive a loss to Georgia and still make the playoffs.
Right. If Vanderbilt loses to South Carolina on Saturday, if playoffs is the goal, you have to probably beat two out of the three of LSU, Texas, Alabama at that point.
And Tennessee, by the way.
Right, and Tennessee. So you probably have to win two or three out of those four.
You got to win three out of four,
to have any kind of chance.
And that's tough. So if you can win this one, that takes some of the pressure off of you in those games because you can drop two of them now.
Right.
And go 10-2 and get to the playoffs. So, again, I think it's a much bigger win for Vanderbilt.
That is a good point.
Because this is a top 11 team right now that doesn't feel like a top 11 team, but it can be a marquee victory for you. And it wouldn't get you to 1-0. It wouldn't get you to 2-1. It would get you to 3-0. They would be ranked probably between 19 and 25.
Yep.
Even though they only got one vote this week.
Right. And you have two games against non-power conference teams coming up. I know you lost to Georgia State last year. I think they're going to be ready for that one coming up next week.
So you're looking at the real possibility. We're not putting the cart before the horse, but the real possibility is if they win this game, they're 5-0.
Yep. And you go to Alabama, which is going to be tough, but if you're 5-0 going to Alabama, you're probably a top 15 team in the country at that point. If teams
certainly top 20.
Start falling.
Yeah.
And I heard Chase and Big Joe discussing this yesterday. If you're 5-0 going to Alabama and you even just play them close, and you go 5-1, does game day come to Nashville for Vandy LSU 2 weeks later?
Depends on what the other games are.
Let's see.
But I mean, I guess it's certainly a possibility. It's tough coming off of a loss, but you know, Vandy at 5-1, LSU,
There'd be a bye week in between there, I believe. So maybe a week to like
pump it back up again.
Right, you forget a little bit about it. Let's see other games that weekend. So you got LSU Vandy. The issue is, and I guess they can still do it. It is an early start because of the way they formatted it.
Is it 11?
Noon or 1 p.m. Eastern time. That would be tough.
That game day goes off the air.
Right. You got Ole Miss, Georgia that weekend. That's Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama. It's the third weekend in October.
Tennessee, Alabama would be an easy pick. Yep.
And
especially if Alabama beats.
USC, Notre Dame would be the only other big one.
So if Alabama runs the table to that week, it's probably going to be Tennessee, Alabama.
Right. That's a good point.
Because the whole thing could be, is I don't know who Alabama's got on the schedule, but you know, does Kalen DeBoer
they do have Georgia before that.
Okay.
Too.
Yeah. So if they were to beat Georgia, I think it would be back there. And the whole thing is, does Kalen DeBoer have it fixed? And blah 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 blah. By the way, so we're talking about Georgia. Are we sold on Georgia?
I mean, they haven't looked super impressive.
They've dropped.
Yep.
I mean, they started the year ranked higher than they are now. They're down to number six. I don't think Gunnar Stockton scares anybody. I think he's averaging like six, seven yards a pass. The shocking stat for me is on defense. Georgia's had defensive players.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in the trenches. They've only got three sacks in two games. Against Austin Peay
and Marshall.
And Marshall,
that's a Marshall team that, yes, they won the Sun Belt last year, but their coach left for Southern Miss and took all their players with him.
And it's Marshall and Austin Peay. They should be on the quarter, and those teams are down and throwing the football, and they should be on those teams and on those quarterbacks. And so that's an alarming number to me that they've only got three sacks this season. And I'm really interested, you know, because we keep talking about Joey Aguilar, but the thing with Joey Aguilar is he allows Tennessee to play fast.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Josh Heupel's in his comfort zone again. All right? And he's going to get to play Georgia fast on what should be a very warm day.
And yeah, it's going to be hot this weekend.
So if they can churn that thing out like they've been doing it, now doing it against Georgia is a lot different than ETSU and against Syracuse. So if they kind of hit a wall on offense, I think we all have to be realistic about that. But I still think there's something to be said for operating the way you want to operate. Because we saw Joe Milton go against Austin Peay, and I think he threw for less than 100 yards.
Yeah.
So, you know, either you can run it or you can't. And right now, Joey Aguilar can run it.
Going to be an interesting game on Saturday. We went through the...
I'll take Tennessee in the points, by the way.
+3.5? Yeah. I
don't need the points with Vandy. I'll take the points with Tennessee.
I think it's going to be a close game. And that is saying something, considering we went through the last eight games. Yeah. They have not been within 14 against Georgia in the last 8 years.
Look, before the season, if you ask me about this game,
right,
I would take Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, and I would still pick Georgia to win because they're Georgia.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've been just hands down, wow, this is national championship Georgia. You know, because I think there are questions. You know, I think Gunnar Stockton's a big question.
From what we've seen, Tennessee has looked more impressive than I think we would have expected.
Yes.
And Georgia has looked less impressive.
Yes.
So it's going to be a great Saturday. And I said it yesterday. I love that it works out that you can watch the Tennessee game at 2:30, watch it all the way through, and then Vandy, South Carolina, no overlap. There are some other good games on Saturday night. LSU, Florida, Billy Napier, coaching for his job.
Again.
And Notre Dame, Texas A&M.
That's a big
one, too. If Notre Dame loses that
one, trouble.
You're 0-2.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't play last week.
Yeah.
So,
no, it's a big game for
you
Notre Dame.
You have to win out at that point.
Now,
if you're
they
Notre
handled
Dame.
Them last year.
They did.
And so it's going to be interesting.
And this one is in South Bend. Okay. So,
but that's kind of must win territory because do they play Clemson this year?
Let me see. Notre Dame.
By the way, Clemson, another team not impressing anyone at this point.
For Notre Dame, you can't start 0-2. You really can't. If you do,
if they went 10-2, they would still
make the
playoffs.
They'd still get in. So they don't have a ton of tough games left on their schedule. You look at the rest of their schedule. At Arkansas, that's an SEC opponent. Boise State didn't look very good.
Nope.
USC, and then you've got NC State, Pitt, Syracuse. So
they don't have Clemson.
They don't have Clemson. They don't have another ranked opponent on the schedule the rest of the year. So not out of the question that they could go 10-2 even if they lose on Saturday.
Yeah, but I think that the strength of those victories could weigh on them at 10-2.
Yeah.
I mean, that's possible depending on how everything else lines up.
Right.
But if they win this game, we're looking at a real chance at 11-1 and Notre Dame coasts in.
Yes. And, you know, they don't have the safety blanket of the automatic bid, but if they go 11-1, they're in. 10-2, yeah, maybe it could be close. Matthew Nashville says, Tennessee is the answer to all your questions. Vandy ending a 15-year losing streak to a South Carolina team is not going to propel them on a path to the playoff. I mean, it at least keeps them on a path.
It has them in the conversation.
Right.
That's not to say they're going to do it. I understand what he's saying, but Tennessee doesn't have to win this game.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt does.
Right.
That's why I say that.
Right. Matthew Nashville says it's not crazy to think both teams could win this weekend. And I
agree.
I think it is very possible that Vandy and Tennessee both get wins this weekend.
And it's possible that they both lose.
Right. For sure. And that's why it's going to be a great weekend. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Going to be two very entertaining games on Saturday. Georgia and Tennessee, Vanderbilt and South Carolina. Wanted to give Corey an opportunity to talk about his Bears here. Because Caleb Williams looked really good to start off on Monday night.
Yeah.
And then things fell off. So
I'm going to sound really negative when we talk about this.
We're going to talk about it coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2. Well done, Parker. We're going to give Corey a chance. You know, he's our Titans guy over at News 2, but he's a Bears fan. Give him a chance to talk Bears. Caleb Williams on Monday night.
Yeah.
After that first drive, I said out loud, I just sitting around, I was like, man, he looked great.
He can hum the football.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. But even after the first drive, I was very concerned with how the ball did not come out quickly.
Yeah.
Now, I know Troy Aikman talked about how he made all of his reads and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, he held onto the ball too much last year. I need to see the ball come out fast. When they played Buffalo in the preseason, he came out, opening drive, ball came humming out on the opening drive, and they went through the field like a knife through butter. And so, yes, they went and scored, but it didn't look the way I was hoping it would look. And you can say you're being nitpicky. Okay, I'm being nitpicky. I expect this guy to be a star, all right? And right now, I have very big concerns that he will not be a star, and I will be looking at the Tyson Bagent era in the coming days.
Yeah, panic meter on Caleb Williams.
Six.
Six?
Six.
That's fair.
And before the game, it probably would have been a 3.
Yeah.
And look, you know, the numbers – 21-35, 210 yards, a touchdown, six carries, 98 yards, a touchdown. Those are all good, right? They scored 17 points on offense.
Yep.
And now the Vikings have a good defense. And week one can be a liar, but they went a long stretch of that game without being able to convert third downs, and a number of those times are because he just missed people.
Yep. The DJ Moore wide open kind of slot fade, yep. And he missed that one.
Fourth down to Cole Kmet over the middle, and right. He just overshot him. We talked about Imani Hooker. He has to make that completion.
Yep.
That guy's open. You got to put that ball in there, and you've got to make that play. So, and it is only year two, but look, when he came in, when he was drafted, my concern level was a zero.
Yeah.
All right. I was all about it, and after last year, because he took so many sacks and held on to the football, my concern level became a three, and now after one game of Ben Johnson, I'm at a six because of the inaccuracy and continuing to hold on to the ball too long.
We were talking during the break about how that game just flipped. Like,
yep.
Everybody was ready to take their victory laps on J.J. McCarthy when he didn't look good. And he came out firing in the fourth quarter.
He took the victory lap.
And he ended up getting the win. And I got to say, I wasn't a big fan of J.J. McCarthy coming out. And yep. when I saw him struggle and throw that pick six, I was like, man, this is kind of yep. what I thought it might look like.
Okay, well, so here are his stats. 13 of 20, 143, two touchdowns and a pick because he threw a pick six.
Yep.
Cost his team 6 points. Two carries, 25 yards, and a score. His numbers are
not great.
Not near as good as Caleb Williams. But what did he do?
He found a way to win.
And that, what do great quarterbacks do?
They find a way to win.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'm not saying he's great quarterback, but he had the clutch gene
yep.
in this game. All right? And the clutch gene is a great place to start.
Yeah. Not ready to crown J.J. McCarthy, and he's got to play better if the Vikings are going
sure.
to be a playoff team this year.
But they didn't panic.
Right. And I said this to Nick Frazier yesterday that I do wonder if maybe the start of that was just shaking off some of the rust of he hadn't played a real football game in 18 months.
And the Bears defense, probably pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Probably pretty good.
Is it Odainbo off the edge?
Yeah.
He was wreaking havoc in the backfield.
Yeah.
So I think McCarthy, he looked a lot better than I expected him to, especially down the stretch. With Caleb Williams, it is tough because it's one of those things where you see the talent. You really do.
Yes.
Like that,
he made a rollout on the sideline.
And hit Roma Dunes.
Oh, gosh.
That was a beautiful play. And it's one of those things, it's like, yeah, that's why he got
yeah.
drafted number one over Jaden Daniels.
I'm like, that's a ridiculous throw.
There are not a lot of guys who can make
no.
that play and make it look that easy.
That was kind of like Favre-esque.
Yeah.
I mean, just – or Elway. Just, you know, on the run and just a missile.
Yeah.
I mean, I gave Odunze credit for hanging on to that
it
thing.
It exploded out of his hand.
That was coming out hot.
Yeah. And it was right on the money. And that's what you see from Caleb Williams, but it's just not consistent enough right now.
Yeah. You know what? And this is the bottom line, you know, when we talk about holding on to the ball too long or this or that. He's got to win that game.
Yeah.
He's got to win that game. You're up. You had chances. Your coach gave you chances to make plays to win that game. You've got to win that game. He won me my fantasy game.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm forever grateful.
By a hair.
Last play of the game. The literal last play of the game gave me the victory.
How many points did you win by? Like,
well, I was down by 0.18.
Okay.
And then I got the completion, and I had both him and Rome Odunze.
So you won so, by like
a couple points.
Yeah. One or two passing yards to get the win. That draft class from 2023 or 2024, excuse me, that quarterback draft class, I think there was a lot of shock that six quarterbacks went in the top 12.
Yeah, you know, I think Penix and Nicks were the big surprises.
Right.
And Nicks wasn't great Sunday.
He did not look good.
But he was really good last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sample size on Penix is very small. But his numbers were pretty good on Sunday. They got to score more points, though.
Yeah, I mean, he made some plays stretching the ball that, I mean, he's an athlete for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't win the game, but he gave them a chance to win the game.
Yep.
and Baker Mayfield just made a couple more plays down the stretch.
And Emeka Egbuka is the star we thought he was.
I picked him last week to be the offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah,
and he's off to a good start.
I don't want to drown people in my fantasy football, but it's just more NFL related.
Yeah.
You know, just where like I was trying to decide for my flex because I had Calvin Ridley because like he's the Titans one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, he's playing against, you know,
Patrick Surtain.
And I'm like, I like Egbuka, and everything I've heard is he's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm like, I made the switch. And it's because a guy who was the guy you thought he was.
Yeah.
And you don't always know that it's going to happen, but that's what happened.
Right.
And for the NFL, it's awesome.
And that's what it felt like with Egbuka was he was just such a safe pick for whoever got him.
There were a lot of people here hoping they could get him in round two.
Yes. Yes.
Then we were like, no, he's not going to
make it. It became very apparent that he was not making it out of round one.
I mean, has Ohio State, have any of those receivers busted?
I'm trying to think of anybody. I mean, they all turn out to be productive players for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, there's Olave.
Olave.
He's probably been the least productive out of all of them.
And that's because of injury.
Yeah, right. The concussions have been an issue.
And quarterback, Carousel.
Garrett Wilson. Quarterbacks that have been terrible.
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Who just went. I mean, he had half of their offense
right.
Sunday.
And
Smith and Jigba was unbelievable.
You even look back to, like, Michael Thomas. I know he kind of fell off a cliff.
Yeah, but he was spectacular before he got hurt.
Right. Curtis Samuel's been a productive player,
yes.
But he wasn't drafted with first round pedigree.
Yeah.
The Ohio State receivers might be one of your safest investments out there. Marvin Harrison Jr. scored a touchdown on Sunday.
I think we all agree that Jeremiah Smith is likely to be a pretty good player on the next level.
There is a chance, and the quarterbacks coming out in that draft, I guess it would be Lagway, and there's one more. That would be pretty good.
2 years from now?
Maybe Arch Manning would be in that draft class.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
But if those guys don't prove that they're surefire number one picks, Jeremiah Smith could be the number one overall pick in that draft.
Oh, that's easy.
Like, if you get a team that doesn't need a quarterback, or if there's not a quarterback worth taking, Jeremiah Smith might be a guy you just run the pick in as soon as you get the first overall pick.
I mean, we talked about he could have come out of the draft last year.
Yeah.
And if Cam Ward wasn't the first pick, it was going to be Jeremiah Smith.
Well, and it was funny a couple of years ago when there were a ton of scouts at C.J. Stroud's pro day, and he was throwing to Olave and
Garrett Wilson.
Was it Garrett Wilson? Yeah. But Marvin Harrison Jr. was out there too, and I remember seeing a quote from a scout. It was like, it's like seeing next year's Maserati on a dealership and you can't buy it. And is it a hot take to say that Jeremiah Smith is going to be a better prospect than Marvin Harrison Jr.? I don't think it is.
No.
Like, I think Jeremiah,
he's a freak.
He is going to be one of the best wide receiver prospects to come out in a long time.
Yep.
You put him up there with Jamar Chase a couple years ago, and I know, you know, taking a wide receiver in the top five isn't exact. It's not an exact science. Justin Blackmon, Sammy Watkins, Corey Davis, but
yeah, this is a different time, and now what we're talking. Look, you can say one guy doesn't have anything to do with the next, but the pedigree of these Ohio State guys,
you feel pretty good about.
There's a common thread here. They are all ready for the NFL.
Yep,
and that's the difference. They're all shown. It's like why has Saban had so many guys? Because they all know he's going to get them to the NFL.
Yeah,
and Ohio State is in that category now, especially at wide receiver, where we will have you ready not just to play in the NFL, but be a star.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like Alabama linemen typically work out, especially on the defensive line. Ohio State wide receivers.
Georgia defensive linemen
and linebackers. LSU wide receivers and DBs. It's like typically you draft those guys, they end up being pretty good.
Yeah.
So excited to see Jeremiah Smith in the NFL. It's one of those things with him and Ryan Williams that you don't see freshmen play like that, and it's disappointing that you have to wait so long to see them get to the next level.
They're completely different, though. I mean, Ryan Williams more Devontae Smith, right?
Yeah.
And Jeremiah Smith more Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's a good point.
Just a physical beast.
Right.
And you want to see it.
Yes.
You want to see it. You'd like to see it two-tone blue.
Right.
But it's not going
to
happen.
But you're hoping the Titans aren't bad enough that you're picking with a chance to take Jeremiah Smith in a couple of years.
Yep.
So We'll see, though. Who knows? Injuries, anything like that.
That's
you
true.
Could end up with a
That's
chance
true.
To take him in a couple of years. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to text or call our phone lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will get back into the Titans when we come back. Starting to look ahead to the Rams. Where do the Titans match up well with L.A.? Where could they get exploited? We'll do that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.